Now we're taking a look at the week in Washington. Senate Republicans are keeping another coronavirus relief bill on hold. President Trump is getting criticism for tweeting out a conspiracy theory about a protester injured by police. And House Democrats unveiled a package of police reform legislation on Monday. It includes a ban on chokeholds, anti-lynching legislation, and much more. Republicans in the Senate say they're working to craft their own police reform bill. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What role do you want to see Congress play in issues of policing, race, and the use of force, if any role? What do you think of the bill introduced in the House this week? Do you see this as necessarily a partisan issue or something you think both parties can work on together? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Sarah Ferris is a congressional reporter for Politico. Sarah, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, on Monday, we had House Democrats introducing their Justice in Policing Act. There's a lot. What are some of the high points, some of the main points of this bill?
Well, it's really hard to understate just how big this bill is and just how fast Democrats are moving. I mean, this is a caucus that was really poised for this already. They have a very diverse membership, many of whom who have worked on this issues for a long time. So they were able to package together reform provisions that have been around for a really long time. I mean, the ban on chokeholds is not a new bill. These bills to create commissions to study the societal effects on Black men and boys, that's not a new bill. There's a lot more in there. There's provisions to really tighten the transparency requirements for police. There's bills to crack down on the use of force. There's provisions that would eliminate some of the legal protections that officers have had to be able to protect them from civil lawsuits. This is really a wide-ranging bill. And what's really remarkable is we're not seeing the kind of resistance from either Republicans or moderate Democrats on this bill. There really is a good amount of consensus, and Republicans would rather talk about other issues versus than really digging into some of the Democratic proposals they don't like.
Yeah, I believe I saw Wisconsin Republican James Sensenbrenner in the House saying he liked at least one part of this that would make it, I believe, easier for departments to get rid of police officers who violate laws and violate norms. So there is at least some Republican support for some of this bill, it sounds like.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at the provisions in this, some of the public approval on these is very high. And one thing Republicans don't want to do, especially in an election year, is to go against provisions that a vast majority of Americans support or even a majority. So we're going to see over the next few weeks, Republicans are going to have to take a position on exactly what parts of this bill they support. And there's a lot of different perspectives. I mean, you have some of the more libertarian Republicans who don't want to see overreaching government. Some of them do support banning chokeholds. Some of them do support eliminating this so-called qualified immunity, legal protections. But there's others in the same Republican Party who feel very strongly against it. So I think this is going to be an issue. We see more divisions in the Republican Party than in the Democratic Party, which, as I mentioned, is an incredibly diverse caucus in both the House and Senate as well.
Let's look at one thing that's not in this bill. As I understand it, a lot of protesters have prominently called for defunding of police departments. Now, a lot of that is focusing on local and state levels. Is there any kind of defunding or budget cutting when it comes to police support in this House Democratic bill?
No. So there is nothing in here that would change the allocations to any police groups or to the Department of Justice in any way. Really, that's not Congress's job. As you mentioned, that's a state and local issue. What Democrats have tried to do is strike this balance. They know that the activists, either on the streets or the ones who have been working on this issue for a long time, when they say defund the police, a lot of them are saying reimagine the work of police. Most of them are not talking about eliminating funding for these departments or abolishing the departments altogether. What really the discussion has been about, especially in Washington, is how can we rethink where this money is going, how it's being spent, and, you know, how much of this is going to go towards actual patrol officers on the ground, and how much can go to social services? Should a police officer be responding to a person experiencing homelessness? Should a police officer be responding to someone who's looking to steal food because they are food insecure? There's a lot of big questions that have been arising from this movement. The struggle by Democrats, of course, is how do you talk about this in a nuanced way on the national level at a time when Republicans really just want to weaponize this, quote, defund the police movement. I mean, this is something that there's a lot of emotion, this is something that the Democrats risk losing the general public if they can't figure out how to message this properly.
George Floyd's brother, Philonis, testified in front of the House Judiciary Committee today. Here's a listen to some of what he had to say.
I couldn't take care of George that day. He was killed. But maybe by speaking with you today, I can make sure that his death would not be in vain. To make sure that he is more than another face on a T-shirt, more than another name on a list that won't stop growing.
There have been questions about how and if protests would result in real policy change. Sounds like Philonis Floyd there is trying to make that connection. And it seems like members of Congress are listening, at least trying to do something here.
Yeah, the hearing is still going on. It's been going on for more than 7 hours at this point. There's been some really emotional testimonies from not just these witnesses, but also the members themselves. There's a congresswoman from Georgia, Lucy McBath. Her son was killed. Her son, who was African-American, was killed by a white man over a dispute over loud music that he was playing. This is something that she's relived in various moments in Congress, and she became emotional today talking about her work to crack down on this type of issue. I mean, it's really bringing together members across the caucus who have had personal experiences with this, and it's become a very emotional moment for everyone in Congress. And I think that's why we haven't seen too many Republicans in Congress rule out what they will not do. What we're seeing is a lot of Republicans, whether it's the Senate, the House, the White House, they're coming up with proposals, and they're still working on them. We haven't seen them. They're coming up with proposals of what they might want to see rather than trying to reject ideas that Democrats are putting on the table. This is a very careful move because, again, the public opinion is so strong for a lot of these measures.
We're talking to Sarah Ferris, congressional reporter for Politico, looking at the week in national politics. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to see from Congress when it comes to police, race, violence? Does Congress need to act? Should it be left to the local level? If you want to see action from Congress, based on what you've heard, how's Democrats proposing there? What ideas do you like? Do they go far enough? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation, check out what's going on in the Senate coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Sarah Ferris, congressional reporter for Politico, looking at the top national political news this week. We've been talking about efforts in Congress to pass bills on police reform. Talk about the House so far. Let's head over to the Senate now. I want to give a listen to Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader, talking about the issue yesterday.
About here in the Senate Republican Conference is what we think is the appropriate response to the events of the last few weeks. And under the leadership and guidance of Senator Tim Scott, at some point in the near future, we'll have recommendations to be made.
McConnell referencing Senator Tim Scott, the one African-American Republican in the Senate. Do we have any indication of the kinds of things that they might be looking at, Sarah?
So what we know so far that Senator Tim Scott, who's leading this effort, is looking at, right now there's a lot of focus on increasing training, to focus on de-escalation tactics. There's a lot of focus on how to better equip officers, you know, to make sure they're not partaking in racist actions on the job. There's less interest, and in some cases, almost no interest in some of the major items that Democrats have laid out in their legislation, banning chokeholds, these no-knock warrants in drug-related cases in which officers can enter a residence without knocking or ringing the doorbell. There's also not as much interest for eliminating this legal doctrine that would essentially shield officers from being the subject of civil lawsuits. So there's a lot, there's a really wide range of ways that you can go about this. What most Democrats see is a need to go after not just the transparency and the training, but also to make these big structural reforms requiring officers to wear body cameras, for example. They want to really change the way that policing is done. And what Tim Scott and a lot of his Republican colleagues are instead looking at are ways to improve the existing training. This wouldn't be structural changes to the department, but just shoring up the resources that are already there to prevent this kind of racism from existing in the departments. And so this is really going to be the major fight over the next 2 or 3 weeks. The White House will, I'm sure, get involved, and it will have changed some of the Republicans' minds on this, so we could see a bit of back and forth. But we're just going to see how far they're willing to go in accepting what the Democrats have proposed already.
We're talking to Sarah Ferris from Politico, looking at some of the top stories in national politics this week. Let's turn to another story now. Amidst all the protests, President Trump got backlash from a lot of people, Democrats in particular, some mild criticism from Senate Republicans this week for tweeting out a conspiracy theory, basically, about a 75-year-old protester in Buffalo who was injured by police. Can you remind us what happened in that incident, and then take us up to this story that the president retweeted?
Right. So what you're talking about is this video of the encounter between the 75-year-old man, Martin Giugino, and two Buffalo police officers. And this basically went viral, and the number of Senate Republicans who either couldn't respond or wouldn't respond to what the president had tweeted was really remarkable. My colleagues were on Capitol Hill asking senators about this. Specifically, Trump is saying, you know, that this protester was pushed away after appearing to scan police communications in order to black out the equipment. That was the accusation that Trump was perpetuating with his Twitter account. And I mean, this was something that had no basis for it. There's a lot of Republicans who are already trying to figure out how to balance support for these nationwide protests, which are multiracial, multigenerational. They really don't want to be seen as condemning the protest, but at the same time, they're trying to maintain this sort of law and order perspective. So this tweet from Trump really just threw yet another wrench in this conversation and forcing them to respond to yet another Trump tweet that they would rather not. And at some point, so many Republicans were saying they hadn't seen the tweet that there were reporters who printed out a copy of it and were handing it out to senators so that they could read it and then respond.
And this is a never-ending question, I think, for the media and for members of Congress, how seriously to take the president's tweets. But today at a White House press conference, he had printed off a series of tweets on an unrelated issue, handed out to all reporters, and then referenced by the press secretary. So at least in some instances, they're being treated as, you know, official presidential statements.
That's right. The president was saying that he was rejecting calls from some in the protest movement to rename some of these forts that exist across the country, which have had Confederate backgrounds. And the president was rejecting, said, we're not going to do this. I mean, this is a distraction that the president has really perfected in his several years in office. Just as the news is starting to pile up for him, there was a CNN poll that showed him way behind Vice President Joe Biden in this election coming up, and he threatened to sue CNN in a tweet over the results of this poll, which CNN said is the first time that there's a president ever trying to force legal action over a poll. So, you know, we've just seen that the president has tried to bring in other issues. He knows that if he brings up a random topic or goes on a tangent like this, reporters will follow in a lot of cases. And so what he's doing is distracting from some of these major, major issues. I mean, this is a very volatile time in American politics. The president is at the center of this. He has to deal with the coronavirus crisis. There's been 15 days of protests across the country, and there's so much else when you look at what he has to deal with. So, you know, the tweets are just one way to, talk to his base directly. He wants to make sure they're engaged, make sure they're you know, that they're behind him heading into November.
I want to touch on coronavirus relief bills in Congress. Last month, the Democrats had passed a $3 trillion coronavirus relief package. Didn't get taken up by the Senate. I don't think anybody really expected it to. Is there any talk on the Senate side of things of working toward more economic relief for the impact of coronavirus?
So in the last couple of weeks, the answer is yes. The Senate Republicans, led by Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, have finally started to talk about what more will be needed. And for this is a change because for several weeks they had said, you know, we've already spent more than $3 trillion. Let's just wait and see where that money goes, what will be needed. But in the last really week or so, we've started to see a change. And with 40 million people unemployed, with parts of the economy very slowly starting to reopen, of course, not bringing back jobs as quickly as some want, though we did get a bit of good economic news last week with jobs starting to be added back, there is a clear need for more aid. And what's really going to be a challenge is there's several expiring provisions of existing legislation that will go away at the end of July. Now, specifically, that's the $600 per week in extra unemployment money that has been helping millions of people who are on unemployment get through this pandemic, who just otherwise would not have been able to make it on the regular unemployment. So that extra money that's been helping millions of people, that will go away at the end of July. There's a lot of Republicans who say we don't need to be, additionally, essentially subsidizing this for people. They say the economy is reopening. Restaurants and other retail outlets are having a hard time bringing people back because they might make more on unemployment. The Republicans are ready to let that provision expire and just say it back to regular unemployment rules. Democrats, however, say that the coronavirus pandemic is, of course, still a factor, and there are many people who are afraid to go back to work or who wouldn't be safe to do so. So they will be pushing for a renewal of these benefits. So, of course, that will be a major fight to look forward to. And I think that will be, other than the police reform, this will be the other main focus in both the House and Senate going into the August recess.
We'll keep watching that. Sarah, thanks for joining us again.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
You too. That's Sarah Ferris, congressional reporter for Politico. She joined us for a look at the top national stories in politics.